Right now, locking it up, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Time to get our local view. He's the columnist for the Register Guard. See what he's up to on the cover of the sports section. Catch up online, registerguard.com. Use Twitter. His handle's at AustinMeekRG. Austin Meek checks in. Austin, a good day to you, sir. How are things?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. What's on your mind? You want to talk some politics, midterm elections, anything like that?
I don't know how tongue-in-cheek that was, but your humor and your timing are epic there.
No reason.
Is it kind of a thing that's just floating out there? And in case you were looking for a job in radio, you figure, well, I know a way to get rid of Steve.
I'm not eyeing your job, believe me. I am not.
All right.
You're irreplaceable.
Let's start with something you covered this weekend, the state high school track and field championships. And, you know, this is a really unique state. You know, we've got a major metro city like Portland and obviously a host of smaller communities. And like you were told prior to attending, it's kind of unique how athletes and people from all corners of this state get to come together at such a legendary venue. So it was your first experience. What'd you think?
It was really cool. It really was, as people say, sort of the equivalent of what you think of when you think of Friday Night Lights in Texas or the state basketball tournament in Indiana. I'm a big fan of any high school event that encompasses all the different classes. You know, when you've got the small schools and the big schools together in the same place, there really is some magic that happens. This is the first time I had been to the state high school track meet. I hadn't been avoiding it necessarily, but I was aware that it's a really neat event, but it's also a really hard event to cover because there's so much stuff going on at once, which was exactly what I found when I went there. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what the story is, but it was neat to spend a day there and to meet a whole wide range of people and observe, the whole spectrum, the small schools, the big schools, the whole range of emotions on display. It's just a really neat scene.
Yeah, along those lines, you wrote about a guy named Tom Page who's been to, like, every town. Some are struggling due to the changing and struggling economy. What did he have to say, in essence, about how long he's covered the event and, because of some of the struggles, how much pride those communities take in sending their kids to this event?
You know, I feel like I'm not doing Tom Page justice if you've never met him, because he is a unique character. I hadn't met him before, but I saw him walking by, with his Hawaiian shirt and his necktie, and I just thought, boy, I bet that guy's got an interesting story. And then I ended up bumping into him later and talking to him. And yeah, he's been a sports writer forever, covered a bunch of small schools for different newspapers, has just seen the whole evolution of small town Oregon. You know, as the timber industry faded out and a lot of these small towns started to struggle, the high school sports teams were really where a lot of these communities came together to find a sense of pride. So, he's got a really neat perspective. He's an interesting guy. After I wrote that, people kind of came out of the woodwork to tell me their stories about Tom Page. I guess he's kind of an institution around here. People who cover sports run into him at these small town sporting events. I'm always interested by those people who covered high school sports their whole life. They really, I think, get a sense of the pulse of the communities, maybe even better than those of us who just kind of drop in from time to time to cover high school sports.
Yeah, it seems like he's literally the fly on the wall. He's been to all of them. Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So I guess the unique contrast is the athletes from all over this state kind of give way to the Prefontaine this weekend, where you get athletes from all over the world. And, you and I have talked about how when we arrived in Eugene track and field, we were like, yeah, we'll see. But when you look at this field and annually what they draw, are you as amazed as I am about, from all corners, it seems like, of the earth, the world comes to Hayward Field in Eugene?
Yeah. You guys have Tom Jordan on today? Did I see that?
Yeah, 4:30.
So I'm gonna make a bet that Tom Jordan is going to tell you that this is the best field they've ever had for the pre-classic. Because Tom says that every year, But, you know, every year I think he might be right.
yeah.
This meet has just grown in prestige and national recognition, international recognition. You know, they've been able to get the best athletes on the planet here every single year for the most part at the pre-classic. So it's, you know, it's a really unique event. You know, it's different from any other track meet that we cover. It's so condensed. You know, it's Friday night and it's Saturday and it just goes by really fast. Boom, 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 and one event after another, you have the best in the world out there on the track. So it's one of the things I look forward to every year. There's always some interesting storyline that comes out of the pre-classic, and I'm curious to see what that is this year.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated by a college town like Eugene. That I wonder how many college towns are recognized in Kenya, South Africa, or London, something like that. It's really distinguishable. So now that you've become more familiar with track and field in an event like this, do you have a preference? You know, the glamour of the 100, the distance races, the Bowerman Mile, or like me, are you just kind of psyched to see the super duper stars like Allison Felix or Justin Gatlin?
Yeah, usually my approach for the pre is they have a press conference the opening day where they bring some of the big name athletes who are competing in that year's event. So usually what I will do is I'll go to the press conference, I'll see who's there, try to find somebody who's really interesting that year. One year I did Justin Gatlin. One year I did Sonia Richards-Bros. It depends on who's there that year, but I'm looking for somebody who's a really good story. I don't know who it'll be this year. It could be Justin Gatlin because I'm always fascinated with him. He's a polarizing figure in track and field, but I find him to be a really compelling character. Matthew Centrowitz, coming off that gold medal in Rio, and sounds like he's kind of trying to get back into form. He's an interesting story this year, so I think there's going to be a lot of options, and I'm curious to see who ends up sort of taking center stage this year.
I want to get to the NBA playoffs. I mean, I guess there were some great moments in the previous round, but we all thought it was leading up to a really competitive East and West finals, and then last night, you know, it ended up by 9 points, but it wasn't close. That was the closest of the 7 conference finals games. I mean, how best to describe what we haven't seen so far in the Final Four?
Well, I think we've seen that it's possible to have a competitive series without really having any competitive games, especially in the Eastern Conference. You know, the teams have defended home court, and it looks like a pretty evenly matched series, but the individual games themselves haven't really been that compelling. You know, last night's game, which, what was it, 9 or 10 points?
Yeah, 9.
You know, that's the closest thing we've had to a really close game, and it did never really feel like it was in doubt in these finals, in conference finals. You know, it sounds like the ratings are still good. People are watching it. The teams are compelling. LeBron certainly is must-see TV. But you know, it does sort of feel like in order to get a really close game with these teams that are in the conference finals, it really has to be the right circumstances. You know, it seems like the home court advantage right now is so strong that, you know, if there's just a little bit of separation, it's enough to make it a double-digit outcome, which, you know, it may be. Makes for an interesting series overall, but it doesn't make the individual games all that compelling.
That's for sure. They owe us one tonight. So Golden State hosts Houston. And even though Houston won a franchise record 65 games, they added Chris Paul. Do you think we're seeing an anticlimax and basically it's a countdown to the coronation of the Warriors? Or do you think there's a shot Houston can make a series of this, or the East winner can give them any kind of a run? Because I'm not brimming with confidence that the next tight game we see isn't in October.
Well, somebody who clearly is not very intelligent came on your show a couple weeks ago and said that the Rockets could probably give Golden State a series and said LeBron is probably not going to the finals. And I don't know who that was, but clearly somebody who does not follow the NBA very closely.
We're checking the archives.
It looks to me right now that Golden State is going to waltz into the finals. And it looks to me like LeBron has got a great shot, although he'll have to win a game in Boston to get there. You know, it's kind of turned out to be a little bit predictable. I had some hope that the Rockets, after their regular season, and given some of the question marks about Steph Curry, had the potential to make that a really compelling series, but doesn't really look that way right now.
Well, we've,
Steph, outside of one game, has not really played that well, and it hasn't really mattered. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure how you get a competitive series out of that.
Well, we've put together a list of the guests we've had the last 6 weeks, and the guys are going through the archives, so we'll get to the bottom of this.
Yes, solve that mystery for me.
We'll finish with some diamond thoughts. After last season, the powers that be decided that they're going to give George Horton another 2 years. And the way this year has gone, I don't think anybody around the program would use anything more than disappointment or maybe even a disaster. And today they announce he will be back next season. Any level of surprise, you know, attendance is bad, or is it just a matter of, you know, as cold as this sounds, it's baseball, it's Oregon, and is that even coming into play?
You know, when I saw that news today, my first thought was, Mark Helfrich has got to be looking at Oregon baseball and saying, geez, what did I do wrong? Helfrich had one bad year in football, and he got fired. Oh, 2 years after taking Oregon to the national title game. Meanwhile, Oregon is now, what, 5 years removed from really being much of a factor in baseball? And George Horton's coming back for another year. You know, I'm not the kind of person who advocates for people to lose their jobs very often, if at all. I like George a lot. He's always been good to deal with. I think there are certainly worse people you could have leading your program. But, man, the results just haven't been there. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, the level of apathy right now with Oregon baseball. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of what I said at that time is, I feel like fans have almost tuned out to the point that it doesn't really matter what they do. They bring George Horton back for another year. It's not like there's going to be a big backlash because people have just kind of accepted that this is what they are, that Oregon just is not really a big factor in baseball. And I think that's disappointing in a way because I think there's the potential for great baseball here, but it's almost like Oregon's just accepted that they're okay with being mediocre in baseball, which is hard to reconcile because that's not the way Oregon has treated any other sport. Feels like in any other sport, Oregon says, we ought to be competing for conference championships, but it seems like they've kind of accepted in baseball that they have a different standard.
Yeah, when baseball returned, he was a home run hire, the new facility. And, you know, from year two through a couple of years ago, like you said, it looked like they were on an upward trajectory. But, man. All righty. Lastly, the softball team, kind of the other end, they're at least this far for the eighth straight year. They shut out all three opponents in the regional behind Miranda Ellis, Megan Kleist. Kentucky became the third team ever to run rule their way through the entire region. It's a rematch from last year. I just think you want to talk about intrigue. I mean, how much does this have the making of a really, really entertaining super regional?
Yeah, strength against strength, which is the recipe for a really good series. I just don't see anybody getting to Oregon's pitching. I don't think Kentucky will have seen anybody with two starting pitchers the caliber that Oregon has. But by the same token, I think Kentucky certainly will present some challenges to Oregon's pitching that they haven't seen very often this season. So I do think it'll be a really good series. In terms of a 1 versus 16 matchup in a postseason bracket, I don't think you can get a much better one than this. I don't think it'll just be a totally lopsided series where Oregon shuts out Kentucky every game the way they did in the regional. But I just don't see anybody coming to Jane Sanders Stadium and taking 2 games from Oregon. I could see this being a 3-game series, I could see Kentucky pushing the Ducks a little bit, but I just have felt like, and I said this a couple weeks ago, I just have felt like there's something a little bit different with this Oregon team that I'm going to be surprised if they don't win at all, and I would be totally shocked and stunned if they don't get to the College World Series.
Kind of like if LeBron made it to the NBA Finals again.
It's not that hard to surprise me, let's be honest, because I don't always know what I'm talking about.
Man, that's good. That's good. And if they do make it, fourth time in 5 years, I mean, this program's a machine. Austin, a lot going on this week and weekend. Enjoy all of it. And when we gather once again on Tuesday, look forward to talking about it. Always appreciate your time. Thanks a lot, sir.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.